Welcome to the Century Casinos Q1 2020 earnings conference call. This call will be recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I would like to introduce our host for today's call, Mr. Peter Hoetzinger. Mr. Hoetzinger, you may begin.
Thank you, Ryan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings call. With me on the call are my co-CEO and the chairman of Century Casinos, Erwin Heitzman, as well as our Chief Financial Officer, Margaret Stapleton. We hope all of you, your friends and families, are safe and in good health during these challenging times of the COVID-19 pandemic. As always, before we begin, we would like to remind you that we will be discussing forward-looking information, which involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially from our forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise the forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. We provide a detailed discussion of the various risk factors in our SEC filings and encourage you to review these filings. In addition, throughout our call, we refer to several non-GAAP financial measures, including but not limited to adjusted EBITDA. Reconciliations of our non-GAAP performance and liquidity measures to the appropriate GAAP measures can be found in our news release and SEC filing, available in the investor section of our website at cnty.com. I'll now provide an overview of the company's status quo in light of the current crisis, and then briefly review the financial results for the first quarter 2020. Following the prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As with almost all casino companies, we closed our operations between March 14 and March 17 to comply with quarantines issued by governments to contain the spread of COVID-19. All of the closures are temporary, with the exception of the casino in Bath, UK, which remains permanently closed. In December of last year, we were in sale negotiations for the Bath casino. However, in March, not surprisingly, the potential buyer terminated the negotiations. Due to the cancelled sale and the negative outlook, we determined that the best course of action would be to voluntarily wind up the Bath Casino Company. We signed the voluntary liquidation resolution last week, and with that, no more losses from Bath will impact our results. In addition, after conservative analysis, it was determined that the goodwill and license value of some of our operations is impaired, and $33 million have been written off in the quarter. During the closures, we've temporarily laid off and furloughed approximately 90% of our team members, except for Poland, where all employees will continue to be paid reduced salaries based on local employment laws. We recognize the impact that these furloughs have on our team members, and we have tried to mitigate a little bit this impact by continuing to provide benefits coverage. We committed to paying benefits to all our U.S. and Canadian employees, inclusive of part-timers, until the end of May. The remaining staff, including senior management, have taken pay cuts and are busy working on budgets, negotiating with vendors, banks, and lessors to manage the cash burn, on HR issues, and on securing and maintaining our properties and preparing them for reopening. Our payroll is down significantly, and many variable costs fall away while operations are closed. Yet many other expenses, like interest on our debt, rent and lease expenses for some of our properties, real estate taxes, insurance, utility costs, and other expenses, continue to occur even while operations are closed. We are currently generating only very limited revenue from our properties, and the net cash outflow during the time the operations are fully suspended is close to $8 million per month, that is including full debt service and rent payments. What can we do to lower that number further and preserve cash? We've recently been able to negotiate the deferral of rent for the land at Century Mile in Edmonton for the months of May, June, and July. The deferral is up for 1 year and is interest-free. We've amended the master lease with Vici to waive the minimum capex requirements for 2020 and deferred it to next year. That helps us with around $2 million now. Other possible modifications of that master lease, like partial rent relief or rent deferral, are also topics for future discussions with Vici. As you know, there are several federal and state relief programs in place in the US as well as in Canada. The specific rules are still evolving, but unfortunately, we are pretty certain that at this stage we will not qualify for any of these programs, either due to size, revenue levels, or existing leverage. Our balance sheet has no near-term maturities, and we are in full compliance with all our debt obligations as of March 31, and also expect that to be the case for the second quarter. As of April 30, we had $50 million in cash. Again, our monthly cash burn is close to $8 million, including full debt and rent service. Our casinos will need approximately $19 million to reopen operations and cover short-term cash needs at the properties. Talking about reopening, 2 days ago on Monday, we announced the reopening of our casinos in Europe in Poland. We opened all 8 casinos on Monday morning. Visitation was good, and the social distancing and health and safety requirements didn't seem to pose any real difficulties. All guests were very understanding of the situation and very happy to be able to enjoy real gaming entertainment again after 2 months of closure. Before the closures, Poland contributed approximately 10% of our total consolidated EBITDA. In West Virginia, the governor announced that effective May 14th, horse racing may resume with no spectators allowed. Following this announcement, horses are back in the barn area and started training at our Mountaineer facility already. The first race is scheduled for May 31st. We will hold 3 races per week, all without on-site visitors. This will be very good for pari-mutuel horse betting handle and will help lowering the cash burn at that property. Our golf course in West Virginia is also open already and is busier than ever. According to the latest information available, we expect to be able to open the gaming floor at Mountaineer on Friday, June 5th. In Missouri, we should be allowed to reopen our 2 casinos in a couple of weeks in early June, based on information currently available. That would be very good news for us because Missouri is our most important market in terms of EBITDA generation. As for the reopening of our casinos in Colorado, we are currently anticipating early to mid-June. And in Alberta, Canada, ADW internet betting on horse races is generating some revenue already. And we will also open the restaurants at some of our Canadian properties next week. That has already been approved and should generate not only F&B revenue, but also increase the betting action on horse races. Casino operations in Edmonton and Calgary will probably start sometime in the second half of June. So clearly the timing and official guidelines regarding the reopenings will differ among jurisdictions, and the various approaches and requirements laid out by the governments and regulators will likely include things like the use of infrared devices to check employee and guests for fever, reduced levels of gaming, restaurant and entertainment spaces, social distancing and slot machines, table games in the restaurants, the provision and use of gloves, face masks and hand sanitizers, continuous disinfection of high-touch surfaces at shorter intervals, limited restaurant opening hours or keeping restaurants above as closed, and other measures to account for varying levels of demand. We've been through all of that in our planning over the last weeks, and we feel comfortable with these requirements. Most of our revenues stems from slot machines, and it's actually relatively easy to employ social distancing in the slot machine areas. Our slot floors are not very often at greater than 50% occupancy anyway, as we've always chosen to have enough slot machines. Our geographic diversity and our locations in hyper-local markets will play a role in our recovery, especially in the early stages where we can expect some pent-up demand. Urban and I have been in the gaming industry for around 40 years and have operated casinos in the U.S. and internationally through a number of challenging times, including 9/11, the dot-com bust in 2000, and the financial crisis over 10 years ago. Each time, the casino industry has recovered and over time came back even stronger, especially in the hyper-local gaming markets where we play. All our casinos predominantly rely on very local and very loyal customer base, and as such, our operations should ramp up at a quicker rate than casinos at destination resorts. All our casinos are local places in urban and suburban locations, with the vast majority of our business coming from customers who live within 45 minutes from our facilities. Our casinos have negligible meeting and convention business, and very few of our customers, if any, travel by air to visit us. In addition, we offer a comparatively inexpensive gaming experience, one that is often still affordable in economically difficult times. So from everything we can see and from what industry consultants are forecasting, local gaming should ramp up considerably faster than destination gaming. The reopenings will probably be limited from an amenity perspective, and we will probably see a more pure gamer that comes to the facility, at least initially. On top of that, don't forget, most of our customers in the local markets are people who are not in the active workforce, people with pensions, with fixed income. Plus, they also get the stimulus check from the government. And finally, if the recent reopenings of casinos are any indication, for example, in South Dakota, Oklahoma, and Indian country, we have all reasons to be optimistic. I'm sure you all saw the reports that the opening weekends were about 15 to 20% higher than a typical weekend, in spite of social distancing restrictions. Also, a couple of days ago, when Southland Casino West Memphis opened, we got reports of a long line around the building. In concluding my prepared remarks, here's a brief overview of our performance in Q1. The results for the first quarter of 2020 really were a stunning contrast. January and February were great months, really great months. Also, March started very strong, and we were on pace to generate approximately $105 million in revenue and $20 million in adjusted EBITDA for the quarter. Both would have been all-time records, significantly higher than our own forecasts and higher than consensus estimates. Then came temporary closures in mid-March, and we ended the quarter with $87.7 million in revenues and $9.6 million in adjusted EBITDA. Increases over last year's first quarter of 92% and 44% respectively. The growth up until mid-March was substantial, and it was broad-based. Colorado's EBITDA was up 20%, Canada was up 19%, and also the three new properties we acquired from El Dorado performed exceptionally well. Combined, their EBITDA was 25% higher compared to last year under El Dorado ownership. We really look forward to ramping up to these kinds of results as soon as possible after the opening. So on behalf of the company's management and board, I'd like to thank our team members, our guests, and our stockholders for their continued loyalty and patience during these difficult times as we manage to properly position our businesses for the reopenings in the new normal. I thank you for your attention, and we can now start the Q&A session. Operator, go ahead, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will conduct the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now, and you will be placed in the queue in the order received. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We are now ready to begin, and your first question comes from the line of David Bain with Roth Capital.
Great. Thank you, Peter, Irwin, and Margaret. Glad you guys are well. You know, as we reopen, are there some permanent or structural changes that you've identified that could allow for better flow through or additional concepts that could carry, you know, more profitably generated revenue? And can that carry forward to 2021? And if so, can you speak to the most significant differences as you open and target that?
Irwin, would you like to start that?
Right. Hi, David. We have not done any structural changes apart from the fact that we used the time in Poland in the Marriott Casino, which is the busiest casino of all of Poland, to completely revamp it, including redoing an air condition which really needed it, and that was quite a job. So it kind of came in handy, if you want to say so, and we used the time to completely redo that and are now well equipped for all temperatures that the summer might bring to give a pleasant experience to our guests. But other than that, we didn't do anything structural. However, we, like many other companies, have once again rethought our strategies, and we definitely, more than ever, will focus on the value players, on the upper end of the players. And that in itself probably is a good thing, given the fact that we will have capacity limitations in all likelihood in most of our casinos. We, again, like others, will further push for digitization, which should, again, bring some cost savings on the marketing side. And I guess these are the main things that we have done from so far. Most of this is fluid, and most of it we will have to play by ear and see how it develops. We're all ready to adapt quickly, basically on a day-to-day basis, depending on what the various jurisdictions will ask from us, so that we're able to react quickly.
Got it. Okay. And then as a follow-up, can you break down sort of the larger pieces of the $19.8 million reopening costs? Is some of that earmarked as cage capital? I mean, just if you can give us what the larger buckets are, that would be helpful. And then just assuming the reopenings are on schedule, are on the schedule that you gave us in the prepared remarks, it sounds like cash in June should still be, you know, $22, $23 million as cash flow begins to generate again. Is that kind of a fair estimate?
Thank you, please.
Yes. So, David, the $19.8 million is mostly cage cash, and then some operating cash, you know, just based on the way cash flows for paying gaming taxes and things like that. And, yes, you're correct. We should be in the $22, $23 million range.
Okay. Great. Thanks so much, and congrats on the January-February results, particularly with the acquisitions. Thanks so much.
And we do have another question. The next question comes to the line of Chad Benon from Macquarie. Please state your question.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Good to hear that you're well. Firstly, on a normalized level of revenues to reach break-even EBITDA, understanding that your properties have different cost structures and tax rates, is there kind of a range of what you need to get to get these properties to break even once they're open? Thanks.
On a property by property basis, that level is about 35% of pre-COVID-19 revenues.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then just back on the liquidity situation. So can you just kind of help us get comfortable with the cushion that you have here? If it's $20 million of cage cash, you know, you're at $50 million at the end of April. That just leaves you a couple months. You know, did you or are you exploring other sources of liquidity to maybe give you a little bit more cushion, or are you just comfortable with, I guess, the timeline of openings and cash flow that you're projecting in the near term? Thank you.
We have plans in the upper drawer, so to say. We have proposals, term sheets on the table for additional credit lines. We are also in ongoing discussions with VG about other things that they can do to help us, other than the CapEx requirement that they raised. And what we are, of course, also are seeing that the capital markets are open, should we want to do anything. And we also, as you know, we also own 100% free and clear many of our properties in Colorado, for example, also in Canada. So we could, if we wanted to, do something with that real estate as well.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks, Peter. Best of luck.
Thanks, Chad.
And our next question comes from the line of Brad Boyer from Stifel. Will you set your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking the questions, guys. First one is just around the monthly cash outflow number of $8 million. could you tell us how much of that is just pure OPEX relative to the everything else?
Do you have that, Peggy?
You know, Brad, it's, you know, it's a little bit difficult to just come up with pure OPEX, you know, in this situation. You know, we're dealing with, you know, paying the cash flows mostly related to loan repayments and VICI and, in, you know, insurance payments, things like that.
Yeah, so
okay.
Like, Brad, VICI and the interest and principal on the Macquarie loan, those two together is about $3.5 million already, 3.6.
Okay, that's helpful. And then just second question is around CapEx. I assume you guys are embedding some, you know, incremental rollback there in light of what we're experiencing. How are you thinking about kind of CapEx for the remainder of the year at this point?
Just really the minimum, Irwin, yes?
Yeah, like as little as at all necessary.
I mean,
okay.
If we've done our casinos in Canada are in great shape, as you know, and just in the fourth quarter we've opened an expansion at Century Downs. So we've cut it back to the minimum, and we don't have any things that are really necessary right now.
Okay, and then I realize it's a very, very short window, but could you provide any additional color around, you know, what you've seen in Poland thus far? And I think more importantly, you know, have you seen any, you know, bifurcation in customer behavior with regard to slots relative to tables? Any color there would be helpful. Thanks.
Absolutely. Peter, it's fine if I respond to that question?
Please.
Yeah. Now, first of all, we opened in the night from Sunday to Monday because we at midnight from Sunday to Monday we were allowed to open. And 3 minutes after opening across the eight casinos in Poland, we had already 100 guests in there, although that's quite an unusual time of the day, I would say. For the results for the first 2 days, obviously, this is very early on, have been produced against the backdrop of us not being able to market at all. You know, we have strong marketing restrictions in Poland, so it's really word of mouth that was going there. I think I could say everything looks very good. We are not far away from, after 2 days already, we are not far away from a cash flow break-even. And from the customers, how do you, the customers feel? How do the employees feel? I think the employees are all used to wearing the masks and wearing the glasses they have to, or masks or shields they can wear. And the customers only have to wear the masks. But again, everybody's used to that by now because it's not obviously not only the casinos where you have to wear the masks. And with regard to the tables and slots, there is not all too much of a shift because, as you may remember, due to the Polish gaming law, we can only have a maximum of 70 slot machines per casino license. So the slots that we have been very well played. They were already at 60% play of pre-COVID times in the first two nights. And the tables are ramping up a little slower because of the seat reduction that we're having. Overall, the assessment of us and of our management there is very positive. They're really excited about the business that we could see in the first days.
Perfect. Thanks for all the color, guys, and good luck on getting things back online here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brett.
And we do have more questions. The next question comes from John DeCree from Union Gaming. Please state your question.
Hi, everyone. Two questions. One, I wanted to ask a little bit more about the $8 million cash need per month and probably getting a little granular, but with Poland reopened and some racing in Canada and West Virginia, should we think about the actual cash net outflow going forward from here being something less than $8 million now that there's a little bit of revenue back in the system?
we should. Can we quantify that, Peggy? Probably too early, right?
I think the $8 million is if everything was still closed?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's helpful. Go ahead, Erwin. I'm sorry.
No, sir. I just want to say, basically, Poland, we think, is in essence carrying itself already probably in a week from now. And the next one's kicking in. We'll see how they will come along.
Good. Very good. Okay. In Canada, with the volatility and kind of sharp drop in oil prices, has that, or do you expect that to have any impact on your business when it reopens? And then any comments you could provide on the kind of continued ramp of your new property in Edmonton would be helpful.
In Alberta, we also have a lot of business from retired people, so they are not impacted by the oil situation. And also, don't forget the recent decision on the expansion of the Trans Mountain oil pipeline that up there, everybody's enthusiastic about it, and it should lead to a very strong recovery. On top of that, now, after the recent reduction in the province's corporate tax rate, Alberta has the lowest corporate tax rate of all provinces in Canada, 8%. So they are doing lots of things to stimulate the economy, and we see pretty encouraging signs. In terms of ramping up of Century Mile, back to Erwin, please.
It's just a little too early to say. You know, it would be speculation. We have to open and see how it's going. The property is in perfect shape. Everything's fine. All the ancillaries are there. Once we can start the racing again, we're already. But it's. I would want to speculate at this point in time about how quickly we can ramp.
For January and February at Century Mile, have you seen kind of continued growth or margin improvement over the fourth quarter before COVID at Century Mile?
We have, but it's been pretty cold there, so those 2 months certainly have been impacted by weather, and again, it's not really representative of what we see over the whole year.
Got it. Fair enough. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, John.
And we do have more questions. This next question comes from the line of Hannah Wilmarth from Santini Research. Please could I just state your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering if you guys see any opportunities to make acquisitions coming out of the current COVID environment?
We see it a little bit, but it's surely not our main focus right now. Yeah, it's too early, and whilst we are, I think things are being brought to us, so we are aware of what's happening out there. We see some opportunities, but right now it's definitely not our main focus.
Okay, and just to follow up on that is there any sort of environment when you'll feel comfortable starting to look more into those opportunities?
I think after the summer, we, if we are in good shape, as we believe we will be with the reopenings occurring throughout the month of June, I think that will be a very busy time for our M&A.
Great. Thanks so much for the information.
Thank you.
We do have another question online. This comes from the line of Alex Silverman from AWM Investments. Please state your question.
Hi there. Are there any states or provinces that are talking about temporarily reducing gaming taxes in order to help the casinos?
So when do you have the latest on that?
Yeah. There is discussion about it in Colorado. And conversely, there is also in Alberta, there is also a discussion about that.
I'm sorry, Colorado and where?
Alberta, Canada.
And Alberta, got it.
Yeah.
Second question, you said getting casinos back to 35% of pre-COVID revenue on a property level would be break even. I assume that's property level break even, and you then on top of that there's the corporate expense.
That's correct, yes. And I said 35%.
35%?
Yes, and that's on the property level.
You got it. And then last question. I know that different states are discussing requirements in terms of social distancing and such. At your peak, whatever, Friday or Saturday night, what kind of utilization do you typically have for your slots at your different facilities?
Erwin?
I would say depending on various circumstances, between 45 and 60%. Has to do with the fact that go ahead.
No, please, go ahead. No, please.
I wanted to say that has to do with our policy that we always try to make sure that we have enough product available on the floor so that our customers always can choose and are not forced to play a machine just because it's free, although it's not the one they really would like to play.
So if a peak level is 45 to 60%, requiring that you only have 50% of your machines operating in order to separate people shouldn't be that big of a stretch for you guys.
That's very correct. Exactly. That's how we see it as well.
Okay. That's all I got. Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions, so I'll now turn it back over to our host.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody, for your interest in Century Casinos and your participation in the call. For a recording of the call, please visit the financial results section of our website at cnty.com. We have our best wishes for good health. Thanks again, and goodbye.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for attending.